Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Central, where we give you life application with the spiritual foundation to enrich your lives and your relationships. We have a wonderful topic for you today, you guys, and we want to talk about it with you. We want your feedback on it. And our topic tonight is the bed. How about that? The bed. Hey, Pastor Nate, good to see you on tonight. Brother Nate, Sister April, God bless you all. The bed, what's okay in Christian sex? That's our topic for tonight. And this is an interactive show. We take your comments via phone. We take them via Facebook and Facebook Live, okay? So we want to hear from you guys tonight on this. Tonight's episode is sort of a spin off of last week's discussion that we had on the marriage bed, what's okay to do in it as a Christian, and whether married or single, because we got a lot of, we already know our stance on, you know, sex when you're single, but we've had a lot of questions about things like masturbation and stuff like that, so we are covering this topic for singles as well. So we want you to share your thoughts with us tonight on this.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be with you once again on tonight. As Lady Nose stated, tonight's show is a spinoff on last week's show. We had a lot of feedback on last week, and we asked the question, did everybody want us to carry it over to this week? And the consensus was yes. So we're back once again on this week. I'm sorry, on Thursday, because we did on Monday, and everybody said carry it over. So we're back once again on Thursday to talk about the same thing. Before we go any further, for those that are listening, if you guys can hear us clearly and all that great stuff and see us clearly and it's not frozen, just say yes or hello or anything to let us know that you're receiving us clearly.
Good to see you, Pastor Shells, Whitney, Eric. God bless you all. Thanks for coming in tonight. We can really kick this off. This question is coming in already. You guys, we got more than one Facebook feed going, so if you start having problems on one, go to the other one. We got Pastor Rendell News.
We got Pastor Rendell News going and Relationship Central. We're trying to get everybody to start going to Relationship Central, but since a lot of people don't know, you know, that we're doing it on both Relationship Central and my page, Pastor Rendell Newell's. We're trying to get everybody off my page and onto the Relationship Central page. So if you go to Relationship Central, can't talk this evening. If you go to the Relationship Central, you will find we're on there. And I'm looking right now, and I see that the Pastor Rendell Newell's page looks like it's frozen. So why, we don't know. But that's the way to do it. And my pad don't work too well. It works better on my phone.
Maybe we should do Pastor Rendell Newell from your phone.
Bitch, you don't want to say you don't want to do Pastor Rendell Newell, so I'm trying to follow you.
Okay, everybody. Well, praise the Lord. So we're going to go on with our topic this evening. If you have any problems on Pastor Rendell Newell's page, please share that we are on Relationship Central once again this week. So that's what we're going to do. I don't really think we need two feeds going, but that's what we're doing tonight. So I recommend going on Relationship Central, you guys. Relationship Central has a live feed going, and that tends to work better. So let's move on with our topic. Pastor Janae has the first question. She says she's received this question. So is it okay to masturbate if your husband has no sexual desire because of medical reasons?
That's a good question.
That's an excellent question. And you know what, Pastor Janae? Can we just stall just a little bit to wait for just a few people to come to this page here? I'm going to share it from my Facebook page. Dr. Knowles is going to need to scoot over here to the left so that people can see his face as he's talking. He's trying to get both feeds going.
Go ahead.
So Pastor Shell is on here. Okay, so welcome. We're trying to get everybody switched over here before we start on our first question, which Pastor Janae just put in there, and it's an excellent question. So share with your friends. I'm going on Facebook now just to do the same thing because we really want to get to this question here.
Hey, Pastor Shells, good to see you in with us on this evening.
Okay, and so Pastor Janae is sharing. I see the feed here, so I'm going to share it and ask everybody to join our discussion. Okay, he says this one is much better. So it seems like the laptop, the phone does a little better. Okay, so I'm sharing it now. Our first question is this. Let's go ahead with it. Is it okay to masturbate if your husband has no sexual desire because of medical reason? That's a wonderful question. So let's let Dr. Newell weigh in on this one.
I'm busy right now. You
busy.
You bring in
She's
on
She's talking
it.
About medical stuff. This
yeah. when you say medical stuff, what are we talking about? You know, are we talking about, you know, can you be a bit more specific when you say medical stuff? Cause
well, no, she didn't say medical stuff. She said, is it okay to masturbate if your husband has no sexual desire because of a medical reason? Let's
That's
just
unfair.
Assume she's talking about erectile dysfunction.
Right, I understand that. But see, you even with erectile dysfunction, there are, you know, you got different things on the market. You got Viagra, you got just a whole bunch of different things on the market that can help a person, Cialis and all that other great stuff that can help a person. And so, hold on one second.
Okay. Trying to get it together, y'all. There we go. Okay.
So you got a whole bunch of stuff on the market to help a person. You know, you have, like I said, you have Cialis, you got Viagra, you got all that stuff on the market made to help an individual that has that problem. So, you know, now if that's not working, then you're asking, would it be okay for the person to masturbate? I say sure, as long as they're doing it with the person that's there. And to me, if any man has that issue, he should be more than willing and more than happy to help his wife. I mean, that's what love is about. That's what compromise is about. That's what marriage is about, you know. So that should be a done deal, you know, that they're willing to please that person or do whatever they can, you know, not just say, well, I don't want it, you know, and that's where we fall into that trap in relationships. You know, one person don't have a desire, and then they have a tendency to say, well, I don't want it, I don't feel like doing it, I don't, and then when the person goes out and cheat, then they're devastated.
Right.
But the bottom line is, what do you want the person to do? You know, you want them to just sit there and twiddle their thumbs until Jesus comes back, you know, and that's unfair. You know, you got married, and when you married, the wedding vows say for better or worse. So that means you got to be willing to do whatever it takes to help that person out, you know, and that can go both ways because you have women that have issues that they don't have a desire anymore, especially a lot of times after women have but when they have their stuff removed.
Oh, hysterectomy.
When they have hysterectomies. A lot of times after women, you know. A lot of times
men
after,
are so sensitive, ladies.
A lot of times after women have hysterectomies, they don't have a desire to do it. You know, they be like, I don't feel like it, don't want to. And that's unfair. You know, I mean, you know, then not just that, but then you still want to come get in the bed next to that person. You still want to dress in front of that person. You still want to do all this stuff in front of this man that he can't do anything, or vice versa. You want to dress in front of this woman, she looking at it, swinging and everything else, but then it ain't working. So now,
yeah.
I heard from a wise lady say one time that your tongue still works.
Well,
I ain't gonna tell who the wise lady was, but the wise lady told me that.
Y'all gotta do what you gotta do, okay?
Right.
Can we just say it like that? Let's just say it that way. And you know what? My sister just that was an excellent question. Excellent question, because at the end of the day, what we talked about last week, again, if this is a spin off of what we talked about last week, we talked about the marriage bed being undefiled, and we talked about that scripture and what does that really mean versus what we've been, as opposed to what we've been taught in church. Some of us were taught right, some of us weren't. Okay, so we talked about that last week. So moving on to this topic this week, when you're married, what your hips won't do, the lips will. You know
there
what?
There you go. And
that sums it up pretty much.
You know, to put it real, let's really deal with this from a realistic standpoint.
I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but just to say real quick, we did clarify last week with the scripture that oral sex is not necessarily against God.
We did.
We even referenced some stuff in Songs of Solomon that alludes to oral sex. Now, it can be debated, yes, for you theologians. It can be debated, but it was very convincing.
But let's look at this. My wife is on this, I won't say diet, but she's trying to eat healthy. Okay, that's her that wants to eat healthy and lose the weight and look all that way. I don't mind looking at, I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to eat healthy, but I still want a burger. I still want, other stuff. But because that's her desire, you know, don't deprive me of what I want to eat. And I'm saying that I'm trying to make a contrast between the two. A lot of times one person will go through something, and because they're going through something, you want to deprive the other person, and that's unfair, okay? That's what love is about. Now let's go back to something we talked about last week. We talked about toys. Well, first of all, and I'm going to be just real with you. If the problem ever happened to me, okay, and I didn't have and the Viagra wasn't working, or Cialis, or whatever they were trying to give me wasn't working, well, I'm going to purchase a vibrator or whatever else I need to do to help her out, and I'm going to join in while we do it. Maybe it may come back to life while I'm doing that. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not faced with that issue, but I'm just saying, if I was really faced with that issue, then that's what I'd do, because I don't want her going off anywhere else, and neither do I want her just laying there every night, dissatisfied, unpleased, and all the rest of it. That's how we fall into traps. I'll prove it to you scripturally. The Bible even said when we fast, for us to fast for what, just a short period of time, that the devil don't come in and tempt due to our what? Lack of self-control. And so now the bottom line is we got to be willing to say, you know what? I got to help my partner out. And especially for Christians, I just can't throw that Christian that, well, you're supposed to be saved, you marry me, well, this is part of it. No, the devil is a lie. We have to be willing to help one another.
And we have another question, which is a really good one. Pastor Janaez, these questions are coming in. How you doing, Lady Shells? Thank you for joining in tonight. We got the Shells in the house. And you guys, this is just unfiltered, okay? So whatever you feel like saying, and I know you guys.
For your motto, okay? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, she was saying her husband's motto, which he already said. So he was going to tell us to ask him what his motto is. You know, for us and what we stand for here at Relationship Central, that's a good motto. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to keep your spouse happy. And we're talking about married sex here. We're not talking about fornication.
Right.
So,
we're not talking about adultery.
We're not talking about adultery. We're not talking about fornications. We're not talking about threesomes. We're not talking about bestiality. We're not talking about no weird stuff, any weird stuff. We're talking about married lovemaking. And if the bed is undefiled, which we talked about last week, it means keeping the bed pure. But God is saying that love making with who you're married to is beautiful for him. That's not wrong to him, is basically what that scripture is saying. So what you do as man and wife, if there's no scripture against it, that's on you. And it's the, we, you know, we talked about how pastors getting too involved in what people do in their bedrooms. You know, it's kind of messed us up over the years. You know what I mean? So we're trying to clarify those things now, and that's why we talk about sex so much. And reason number two is because we keep getting asked to talk about it amongst all the other stuff we try to discuss.
And even if we go back to the scripture last week, we dealt with the scripture where it says marriage is honorable in the eyesight of the Lord, and the bed undefiled. But it said marriage is honorable in the eyesight of all, and the bed is undefiled. Well, if we deal with that, what he's actually saying is I'm okay with the marriage bed, but I got an issue with adulterers and whoremongers. They gonna go to hell. I mean, that's just plainly, just putting it plain. The scripture's not saying, it don't give us a schematic on what to do in the bedroom, but what it tells you, what God is saying, I have no issue with what two married people do, long as it coincides with the Bible. Now, what two married people do, that's their business. Now, what I'm concerned about is the adulterer and the whoremonger. Those are the ones I'm concerned about, because when you read the scripture, that's what the scripture is basically talking about. It's not so much talking about what two married people do. Now, we really don't find too many scriptures in the Bible that gives you a schematic on what two married people are supposed to do until we get to the Songs of Solomon, and it really don't go into detail. It's kind of metaphorically speaking, and for the metaphors, we can almost put anything there.
Yeah.
You know, so now when we get to the Old Testament, we get to the sexual sins, as we discussed it last week, we automatically know that you're not supposed to sleep with your brother's wife and your mother and your father. All that's kind of, all of us say that's kind of self-explanatory, and we think it's nasty anyway, you know. So we don't have an issue with that. But it's the other stuff that we need to discuss and talk about. Just like the question we got, what do you do if one party, and I won't say a man or a woman, one party has a medical condition to where they are no longer capable of fulfilling that part of the marriage. What do we do?
Tonight's episode is a spinoff of last week's discussion on the marriage bed being undefiled. We're talking about the bed, what's okay to do in Christian sex. That's what we're talking about. And this is geared towards married folks and singles. We don't need the singles out here. Okay. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. It's an open discussion. We want to hear your thoughts on it. We got a couple more questions, so let's move on. Question number two, what would a wife do if her husband only wants to have sex after watching porn?
Well, first of all, we got an issue. The issue is the porn.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you watch porn and now he wants to have sex, well, it's the porn that stimulated it. So he's been stimulated by another vision, which leads to lust. Now, if him and his wife have made a movie of themselves, and that why he watches that, and that stimulates him, well, there's no problem. That's them. That's in that covenant.
Yeah.
But if he's being stimulated by something outside the marriage, outside some other person, outside the marriage, well, now we got a problem. And the problem is that he's just fallen into lust, and the Bible speaks against it. Because what got him hot and aroused was the picture on the screen. And so, no, that, and then to me, that should make the wife feel pretty bad because that person on the screen is stimulated and not the person you're in the relationship with. I'll just take me. I would be pretty hurt if now my wife looks at this and now she's turned on and then you come to me. Let's just say any old thing. She looking at the soap operas and you looking at some of the guys that all the women like on the soap opera. Now you turned on. Now you want to. I didn't turn you on. That's what turned you on. So now we got an issue. The issue is you need to go repent because, you know, you've fallen into a situation you shouldn't be into.
Yeah, you need to get something right with God, because if it takes that to turn you on, really it should only take your spouse. But on the other hand, let's really deal with this, because, and don't worry, guys, we will catch up with the questions. We're going to address all of them. On the other hand, sometimes people go through periods in their lives where they feel like they need something else, and they can't explain it. And I don't mean something else like bringing someone else in or something like that, but sometimes people go through things like menopause, people go through things like midlife crisis, people go through medical issues, and let's just X the medical issues out and just say a person's functioning normally. Do we take that into consideration, or do we just automatically say, No, that's not happening. I mean, do we, and as far as, the, I mean, we're still talking about the porn. What if this is something that's just come up? What if this is something that wasn't there before? And all of a sudden, you know, a person feels like it's something that they need. Do we treat it as if it may be an underlying issue, as in something that person may not know about? Because psychologically, we all have things go on that cause other things to manifest in us, and we didn't realize it was there. So it could. We're talking about married folks here. We got to try to be understanding through sickness and health,
but when,
you know, that it could be something that's a sickness.
Yeah, it could, but you say it just popped up.
Yeah, and sicknesses just pop up. You know what I mean?
But
sometimes
a porn addiction just don't pop up.
No, not a porn addiction popping up, but just like, for example, there are people that have watched porn in their lives that were never addicted to it.
Right.
That all of a sudden in marriage, somebody goes out and gets one and says, hey, babe, let's watch this tonight, you know, and whatever. They decide they want to, and then maybe the next time they want to do that again. And then maybe the next time they want to do it again. So you do it a few times, and then now here it is, you're not able to get stimulated without doing that same routine.
But that's something
that wasn't there
before.
So now it's not like, oh, it's something you weren't doing for me. It's just that we tried this, and now I'm really liking it. How do we deal with that from a, oh, is something wrong with me standpoint, or, oh, this is something you don't realize you're dealing with?
No, we got to deal with it from a spiritual standpoint. The bottom line, from a spiritual standpoint, we should never open that door.
Right.
When once you start opening doors, and that's the crazy thing about opening doors of sin. Here's the problem. When it comes to things that are against God, if you ever notice, they're real easy to do. It's real easy to sin, but it's hard to do that which is right. So sometimes we got to be very careful on some doors we open, and somebody got to be the wiser one,
right,
and the spiritual one to say, well, babe, you know, that's not nothing we really want to go. We don't want to go down that road, you know, because that's like people that talk about threesomes. Okay, let's just say I talk her into doing it, and she does it. Who's to say I may not like that other person
right,
more?
Right, exactly. That's why you don't want to introduce
you know, or every time that now all I'm thinking about is that other person
right.
instead of the person I'm with. So there's some doors that are just better left closed. You know, my mother used to always say when we were kids, curiosity killed the cat.
Right.
And sometimes curiosity, to be curious about other stuff, bringing it into your relationship can actually damage and kill your relationship.
And then we talked about just touching on the threesome
mm-hmm.
point for those that didn't listen last week. We talked about how you're actually forcing the other party to commit a homosexual act.
Right.
So that's against God anyway. And this thing looks like it's trying to freeze up on us. Hopefully it'll
But you're not just a homosexual act, but then you're causing them to voyeurism.
Voyeurism. You're causing them to do that.
So
you're lusting after somebody
right.
else. You know, maybe.
Right.
Potentially.
But even watching.
But even with the watching, yeah, you're not even supposed to look at that. I mean, that's a sin right there. So there's a lot of reasons why. Porn, the reason introducing another person in is we can go to scripture for that and just lay that out plain. But there are a lot of questions that scripture doesn't specifically cover. So let's get on with the questions. Pastor Shell said he said he just got a GoPro and he can't wait to make a movie.
I'm going back down to the question. I ain't bothered Pastor Shell. He got it. Don't do it on your phone because you may
yeah.
film that somewhere. You have to buy you a separate camera.
You guys are right. And Lady Shell says, so happy y'all are breaking chains. That's exactly what we're trying to do, Lady. Okay, question number two. What would a wife do? Oh, we already did that. Question number one, I must have missed that. But I saw the next
three.
One says, question number,
no, did you get three?
Question number three, can a wife or husband rape their spouse?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes. Yes, they can. Even though my wife the Bible, let's look at Scripture. The Bible said that her body's not her own. But that is, how do I put it? I won't say metaphorically speaking, but it's kind of a metaphor. But her body's not her own, you know, and mine's isn't my own. But just because it's not, even though it is, it's even though it's not her own, it still is hers. And I just don't have the right to do what I want to with it, you know. I mean, because if she's not in the mood or whatever, I don't have the right to just force my will on her. Love making should be a free will deal. Same thing with salvation. Christ just don't force us to get saved. It's by what? Free will. Mm-hmm. So he loves us into salvation. So it should be the same thing. You know, I don't, you know, some people don't agree. Well, it's mine. I'm married to her. How can I rape something that belongs to me? Yeah, no, that's against her will. You know?
We're not slaves. I mean, that's like a
right.
Like a slave owner.
Well, she said wife or husband.
No. I'm saying that mentality
is
almost like, and I'm not really getting in the race here at this point, but it's almost like a slave owner mentality. I'm going to take what's mine.
Yeah.
It belongs to me. And Christ don't force us to love him.
Right, right.
So it just doesn't even make sense if you're a Christian to force it on somebody. That's you getting into your own fleshly, lustful desires and not being patient and saying, okay, I'll wait. That's you. That's people and human nature saying, I'm going to take what I want. And that mentality is not a Christ-like mentality.
But at
the same time, we shouldn't keep it from,
no, we shouldn't.
You know,
but then
from each other.
I do have an issue with you have those that like to play like that. You know,
rough.
And, you know, not just rough. You have some that, you know, want the man to put on a mask and come
You're
in there.
You're talking about role playing.
Role playing. Yeah. But when you, to me, when you get in that type of role play, there's something psychologically wrong with that.
Yeah.
Because that's not a, what is it? That's not a normal act. You know, that's not like saying, because that's an act of violence. You know, you're talking about rape. You're talking about forcing hurting someone, going against somebody's will. That's an act of violence. So now if a person's mental, if they're there mentally, to me that's something that needs to be checked out, because even when we were talking about this, you know, I've seen stuff and know people that have told me and friends of mine that you know, they've been with people and the woman liked to be choked. I'm not sure, you know, to me, I don't know the reason behind that. You know, I want to know why you want to be choked. Is that something psychological? You know,
yeah.
What in your? I mean, what is that doing for you? You know.
Yeah.
So there are some things I believe that we gotta kind of, as Christians, kind of steer away from. And then when we see them, if because it's a very sensitive subject, and I just can't say, you know, something. I believe something's wrong with you, babe. You need to go see a doctor. You know, I can't just come out and say that about somebody, especially about their sexual tendencies and their sexual life. So those things we really need to pray about, you know, and ask God, you know, I don't think this is normal. I don't think this is healthy. Can you help my spouse?
So. Absolutely, and I agree with that 100%. Rape is not normal.
Yeah.
So for you to want to role play that or to just take, you know, even when the other person's not feeling like it, there's something wrong with that. That's just not humane.
Now,
okay?
Now, I know the other end. You know, some people do like the little rough stuff or whatever. Now,
rough is
fine.
Different from...
But that's different from...
Enacting a rape.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Different.
That's nothing that you want to play with.
Right.
That's a traumatic, painful experience.
Right.
And so if that's something that turns you on... I can't reconcile that with I can't reconcile that to be okay with Christ.
No.
I just can't. Now, I can't take a scripture and prove that to you, but it just doesn't make sense to me.
And as we stated, I believe there's something that you need to really talk to somebody. If that is a fantasy or a fetish, you know, you have a rape fetish or a rape fantasy, or, you know, that's not normal.
Outside
you know?
Of Christianity, they'll tell you that's not normal.
Yeah.
A psychiatrist will tell you that's not normal. So, let's move on with the questions. We don't want to leave anybody out. And Shantae said, in regards to the porn thing, she said she think having sex after her husband watched porno will probably make her feel some kind of way.
It should,
absolutely. Question number four, how soon should you discuss whether or not you are reserved or a hot tamale in bed? Good question.
When you're speaking of dating?
I'm guessing.
Are you speaking?
Yeah.
Give me some hearts or some thumbs if you're speaking of dating, and you know, because that could be the only thing you're thinking of. You're talking about dating. I believe, you know, that conversation, the sex conversation, comes up in dating when a person has gotten to the point where they know, I think this is going somewhere. This can be my husband or this could be my wife, you know, and now I think we need to discuss and have the question. You know, now we need to talk. And then I believe when the talk comes, it needs to be discussed in detail. The reason why, because most of us are Christians, and those that are not, well, you know, maybe you're just keeping yourself for a certain reason or you, whatever, but the Christian keeps themselves according to what they believe the Bible is telling them. So the reason I say it need to be discussed in detail is just that reason. Well, the bottom line is if you don't plan on going there with the person, well, we need to know. I need to know, what do you like? When do you like it? Are you a morning person? Are you a night person? Are you a cuddler afterwards? Are you a person, a one-hitter quitter? I'm still battling this cold, you guys. So excuse me. So a person needs to know what the deal is, you know, because let's look at it this way. When you go buy a car, and I know some of you guys may not like me using that analogy, but when you go buy a car, you both go buy a car, and when you buy the car, you get to the car lot, they tell you everything that's going to come with the car. Now, if you're buying a used car, they're supposed to tell you everything that's wrong with the car. I wish it was like, you know, the commercial Carfax. I wish you could go run the person's name through sex facts and they tell you what the issues are.
Wouldn't that be nice?
There's nothing there like that. So the bottom line is I got to ask questions because I want to know. Now, let me just deal with me. I'm a very picky person, and I'm picky about food. I'm picky about clothes. I'm picky almost about everything and anything. She's shaking her head. I am. I'm very picky about a lot of stuff. And so I want things a certain way. I'm kind of a creature of habit. I like the same kind of foods all the time. So when it came to me and my wife getting together, I asked her questions because I wanted to know. You know, I wanted to know if you had nipples that were this long. You know, I did ask, you know, if things were out of place. I mean, can we just be real? Every woman is made differently in the vaginal area. I wanted to know, you know, what it looked like, if all of it was tucked in, if stuff hanging out. I asked questions because I knew if things were in place, I knew me. I know me, and I wasn't going to be happy, you know. So let me, you tell me, because now if you lied to me, well, then I'm out of here because you lied. You didn't tell. I asked. I gave you the chance to say this, that, and the other. And then when she found I was so forward enough to ask, well, then she began to ask. And so I believe after a couple realizes that that's the direction they're going.
Okay, next question. Hope that answered the question. Question number 5, a wife's husband wants to be penetrated with a toy in the back door. Is that okay? Now, we did discuss this last week. Can I answer this one?
Yeah, you asked that one.
I'm going to give you a break. Sister Shantae's last mental sex fact comment. That was good, though, wasn't it, Shantae? That was pretty nifty. Let's see. A toy in the back door. Here at Relationship Central, we don't endorse that kind of thing. And I'm going to tell you why. Now, we're very specific here, so if you super dignified, just turn it off now. Okay? We talked about this last week. Let me have some of that. Oh, you poured it all in here. Let me tell you, it's water, you guys, before y'all start talking about the goblet. We got these from the Madonna Inn for the church, okay? This is
that was mine.
To the pastor's chair, okay? This is not wine. Now, moving on. So what we talked about last week, and this may not sit well with some folks, but we think that as far as the anal area goes, it's okay for stimulation. We think that's okay. because, and I'm going to justify that to you, because we use the nipples for stimulation. And who's to say that's what it's for? Milk comes out of it to feed babies. So you can say, well, that's not for sex. But we use them all the time for stimulation. So same could be said with the anus. There's a lot of nerves there, and it can be stimulating for you. Hey, Sheila. Hey, Sherry. Hey, all y'all joining? So we don't think there's anything wrong with that, but as far as the penetration there, we don't endorse that. And the reason we say that is because as far as taking care of the temple, taking care of your body where we house the Holy Spirit, trying to take care, and we do a lot of things that destroy our bodies, okay? We smoke, we drink, we eat too much, the wrong foods, we do all kind of things, right? But it goes in that same category. Penetrating the anus can damage the body. It can stop you from being, over time, from being able to control your bowels, okay? It's tearing tissues, muscles, and things in there that will not heal themselves. If you've ever seen a picture of a prolapsed anus.
It ain't pretty.
Maybe you should go Google that right now.
Yeah,
prolapsed
it's not,
anus.
It's not pretty.
And that can happen from too much penetration in the anus, which basically means it will come to the outside of your body from the inside.
Basically, big hemorrhoids.
Women, if you've heard of a prolapsed uterus, it's the same thing, okay? So the vagina is made to repair itself, okay? It's made to go back the way it was. It's made to, it produces its own juices. It lubes itself, okay? It does, and outside of medical issues, but that's what they have KY for, okay? That's an easy fix. But anyway, so we don't endorse the penetration in the anus because it's tearing up the body, okay? So we hope that answers the question. Is there anything you wanted to add to that, honey?
No,
that I left out?
Well, and then to me, when you get to a man, I mean, and just as Lady Noel stated, yeah, there are a lot of nerve endings there. And in a man's anus, that's the way they even check your prostate. But they say there are glands back there that the doctor can milk and touch and rub and whatever case, and you just have this wonderful orgasm. I'm not too thrilled about, nah, it took me forever to go have
a prostate exam. I had
you know?
She had to almost force me to do it.
You know, so when you get to that kind of stuff and you get to penetrating, a man wants you to penetrate his rectum with a toy, well, to me, you're bored. And then let's look at it. What kind of toy? You know, because if you're using a dildo, that's the shape of a man's penis. And so now, to me, we get into homosexuality. You know, so though, like I said, there's some doors that just don't need to be open. I can have a toe curling, eye rolling back in your head, mind blowing orgasm by somebody entering my rectum, but I'm not willing to forget that one. The ones I have are good enough. You know, so sometimes we just got to leave well enough alone.
I think
a lot of times the devil comes in and we start listening and hearing other stuff, and before you know it, you want to try this and you want to try that, and then we've slipped into a place where we're just, our bedroom is just completely out of God.
Thank you, Sister Latanya. She said good answer. Okay, so good. It sounds like we're answering the question. Sister Sherry, bro, I think we saw you yesterday.
Yeah, you were traveling on Palo Verde Drive.
Let's not put our business out there. Let's go on. We wanted to stop and say, we wanted to honk at you and catch you and say hi. Let's see. Maybe it wasn't you. Correct us if we're wrong. Pastor Nate said that's rude. What, the penetrating the back door? Rude. Question number 6. What is a sexual deviant? That's a good question. From what I understand,
that's a big word.
Sexual...
You gotta answer that.
Honey, you can figure that out from just looking at the word. A sexual deviant, from what I understand, is somebody that gets sexual gratification or somebody that gets pleasure out of things that are unorthodox sexually to society, to the church, to their family, to whatever they were brought up to believe in, the general perception of the society, what they think as a whole, if you go against that to get pleasure and have to get your rocks off that way, can I say that? From what I understand, that's what a sexual deviant is, somebody that gets pleasure sexually in unconventional ways, according to society standards. Now, if anybody knows any other, let me look up the actual definition for that. But if you know or if you have another opinion on it, let me know. But that's my understanding of what a deviant is, a sexual deviant.
Oh, I thought you meant a sexual diva, because I got a sexual diva, but a sexual deviant, I don't know what that is.
But let's get into that. That's a good question, because a sexual deviant goes against the norm. You know, here we're getting into mores and things like that and the norm and stuff like that. So if you're going against the norm, but what is the norm for us? We go by the Bible. So the norm for us is what we're taught in church. But that's why we do this show, because some of the things we've been taught in church are not true.
Not correct.
And we've been made to feel like sexual deviants for wanting to do certain things when that's not true. We've been given this false label, you know, or perception of our own selves that's not necessarily fitting for us because we have certain desires. Certain things are okay that we've been taught in the church is not okay. So some people are feeling like they're sexual deviants when they're not. Now, we talked about...
Give me a definition of deviant.
Well, let me
just... Give me a definition of the word deviant. You know, because like I said, you know, I really want to give everybody a clear understanding of what we're dealing with and what we're talking about. And so when I think one of the big problems when it comes to church and sex is, for one, it should have been like church and state. They shouldn't have had anything to do with each other outside of me clarifying what was correct according to God. Other than that, I shouldn't have, you know, as a pastor, as ministers, as teachers and elders, we really shouldn't have been in people's bedroom. And I think that's why we do what we do, trying to clear up a bunch of the misconceptions that were put out there. You know, now we know there are some things, and that's why the Bible was written in such a way. If we would have stayed virgins and stayed pure and all this and kept and guarded what we watched even at a young age, we wouldn't have some of the problems we have now. But because we weren't virgins when we got married, we watched certain things, we listened to certain stuff, we heard certain things, and us taking in all this stuff, then before you know it, you want to partake in it. You want to try it. And then the people that are telling you make it sound so wonderful. Because even when you get to the anal intercourse, I can't imagine anybody, male or female, the first time being a pleasant act, because it just didn't feel great when I went to have that, the prostate exam. That wasn't a great feeling to me, and that was just a finger. So now I can imagine something large. Oh, no, don't even. So now the person may tell you, and see, this is the important portion about it. People tell us all the wonderful stuff. Ooh, it feels good, and but they don't tell you the side effects
the
to
side
it.
Effects.
They don't tell you.
Or
the,
they
the,
go.
Yeah. They are read them like the television.
Tell you the side effects real quick, where you
right.
can't even understand.
So they don't tell you the pain that comes from it when you
right.
first try it and all this kind of stuff. And it, so there's just some stuff we as Christians need to leave alone. And if we got saved. And I mean, now that we're saved, some things you might have did in the world, now that you find it's against Scripture, it's against God, well, then the thing now you need to do is say, God, help me.
Right.
You know, you really need to ask God for help that you can overcome that and get delivered from whatever it is, you know, because it becomes a bondage in your marriage.
Sister Sherry said that was her.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You're in our neck of the woods.
You're in our neck of the woods. We're on our way home.
Uh-huh. We live up here, so next time you're up here, look for us and we'll say hi. Let's see here. Okay, so we have another question. I hope that answered the sexual deviant question, Pastor Janae.
We never got to the definition.
Oh, the definition, that's right. Thank you for keeping me on task, honey. Sexual deviance, this is from the Blackwell Encyclopedia of sociology. Okay, it says sexual deviance, and what is defined as sexually deviant is culturally and historically specific, meaning it changes with time and culture. So what's deviant, sexually deviant in American culture may not be sexually deviant in Middle Eastern culture or something like that, okay? So it's specific to your culture and the time period in history. So it says this concept refers to behaviors that involve individuals seeking erotic gratification through means that are considered odd, different, or unacceptable to either most or influential persons in one's community. So that's pretty close.
Yeah. And so now what is, now something that just hit me when she said that was that stuff that we don't want to tell nobody we doing. You know, I don't. Not too many people have an issue with saying they have oral sex. I mean, I don't know too many people that really have an issue with it unless they're in church and they've been taught it was wrong and they're still doing it and they just refuse to say it.
Right.
But I don't know too many people that have an issue with saying that. To me, we get to the issues when we get to stuff that we just are ashamed to tell anybody we're doing, you know. And to me, if you're ashamed to tell anybody you're doing it, well, now then I got to take the in consideration, is God pleased with it? If I'm ashamed, I'm doing it. Now, is God pleased with it? Because the bottom line is, I don't think there's anything me and my wife do that I'm ashamed to tell anybody I do, or she's ashamed to tell anybody she do. You know, but so when it comes into something that you're ashamed to talk about, I believe that when you're ashamed of it, that's when we got an issue. You know, that's when we got some problems, because there are people that go to these, there are places that you can go pay to go to, you know, where they'll tie you up and beat you and all that kind of stuff. Now, are you telling somebody you're going to that place? You know, I mean, now if you and your spouse want to get into to role play and get into S&M and that kind of stuff, well, that's your business. Now, what I would say about that, if you got to feel excruciating pain to feel gratification or excruciating pain to reach orgasm or climax, well, to me, that's something wrong with that. You know, there's another issue that you need to go talk to somebody and see why. Because maybe something was done in your childhood. Maybe, I don't know, but you need to, that's not the norm, you know, that a person has to feel excruciating pain or whatever to be fulfilled. You got to be spanked till you got black and blue bruises. Well, there's something to me wrong with that. Maybe, see, I got whooped with extension cord, so I'm grown now. You ain't got to hit me no more.
Next.
I'm just being serious.
No,
you ain't got to hit me no more.
That's,
you know, so, I mean, I believe there's something wrong with that, you know. And even, let's even deal with that, since I brought up, even when we get into role play, to me, there's a thin line there, too, even when you get into role play. Because if I tell her to dress up as a man, there's something wrong with that. You know, it got her coming in there, and she got on a mustache and hat and suit. There's something wrong with that. To me, if I tell her to put on a little Catholic girl outfit and with a lollipop, there's something wrong with that. You know, now if I just like Wonder Woman and the suit Wonder Woman had on, I tell her, hey, I want you to be my Wonder Woman. We go into the costume shop and get you a Wonder Woman outfit. That's just a fantasy. But see, to me, even when we start dealing with fantasies, they still deal with something psychologically. You know, what's going on in your head?
Absolutely. And Shantae, we're going to get to your question. Thank you for everybody that's joined. Pastor Miles, First Lady Jones. PJ, hey, how you doing? Ms. Wilson, thank you all for joining us tonight. Shantae has a question, but just before we get to that, I wanted to mention something. You said that dressing up like little girls or boys or whatever, something wrong with that, if that's something that turns you on. Well, that's how Britney Spears got so famous. if you think about it. If you think about Britney Spears, how did they used to dress her in her videos? Before she got, you know, a little bit older, she was dressing up like a Catholic schoolgirl.
Right.
In her videos. And this was appealing to grown men. Even though they knew she was a grown woman, they were looking at her like a little girl. Because they knew her from Disney. Their kids watched her. You see what I'm saying? Growing up. So to them, she was this little girl. Ooh, she's all grown up now. And, it's just a psychological thing, the appeal, you know. But it's been like that for centuries. You know, they used to marry girls off at 12, 13 years old. So this is not something new. But talking about deviance, sexual deviance, in this culture and society, that's wrong. So we don't subscribe to that. And you know, people could even go back to the Bible and say that women, girls, teenage girls were married off. So, it should be okay now. If it was okay then, it should be okay now. Well, the Bible tells us to go according to the laws of the land. So the laws of the land here, it's not okay in this society, in this culture
right
now.
And when we think about fantasizing, fantasy is not reality. Fantasy is something that you've made up. You cannot have. I can't have Wonder Woman. I got my own wife, so since I can't have Wonder Woman, I have my own wife dress up and be my Wonder Woman. She dressed up, and I know it's her, dressed up in a Wonder Woman suit. I'm not trying to make her Wonder Woman, but I just like the whole fantasy of the strength and all that of being Wonder Woman, you know, so I can't have Wonder Woman. Well, now let's flip it. Well, if I got you dressed up like a little girl, some little girl holding a lollipop with two ponytails, I can't have a little girl. So what I'm going to have you do is pretend to be this little girl. So now we get into something where, like I say, that's wrong there. To me, that's a very slippery slope, because now when this stops working, where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
After the little girl.
Thing.
So there's some things we just don't do, and don't you pull in your bedroom. Like we've said, talked about here on Relationship Central, we say it's okay to role play. But then there's still that what's the word I'm looking for? There's a balance there. There's a line there that I just don't want to cross.
And, you know, we try not to be too churchy here or anything on this show, but we know that the Bible tells us to basically stay away from things that are going to cause us to fall into sin.
Right.
Stay away from things. Control yourself. Temperance, self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And this is why it's so important to us as Christians, is that it keeps us safe. It keeps us from venturing off into things that could get us in some real trouble, not just with the law, but with God. So let's move on to these questions. We said we were going to get them all. Shantae says, so sex always have to be in the bedroom, or can a couple have sex in different rooms, like the den, living room, etc.? I think it's perfectly okay for you
to
do it in your house, wherever you want to do it. We don't recommend doing anything that gets you in trouble with the law, because we had questions last week about the beach and public places and stuff like that. So technically you're not supposed to do those things, but we're not going to tell you not to get a little steamy in your car at the beach, or laying on the beach. You know, that's romance. People do it or whatever. But to me, there's nothing wrong with that outside of your breaking the law.
No, in any place in your house, now as Lady Mills stated, outside of your own home, you got to be very careful, because
you don't want to break the law.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to find yourself in trouble with the law, you know. So, I mean, hey, if you do it, still, that's your business. That's between you and husband and wife. If you get caught, you got to pay the penalty for that, you know. But now, far as inside the house, there's, you know, hey, just don't invite me to dinner if you guys been on the dining room table. That's your business. I mean, we say spice it up, and only now the flip side of that, we don't do it, and the reason I won't say we don't do it, but it's kind of hard to do because we have children,
yeah.
You know, and you know, having kids, they get up at any time. I want some water. I got to pee. Before you know it, you busted. So, I mean, for us,
like getting in trouble with
the
law.
That's worse than getting in trouble. I'd rather take the law. You know?
Yeah.
So for you know, parents with kids, I would say, you know, I mean, if you're going to do that when children are home, you need to be very careful because you don't want to expose them to something that they're not ready to handle just yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, get a babysitter and christen every room in the house after the babysitter and pick them up and taking them wherever they're going.
Absolutely. So tonight we're talking about the bed, what's okay in Christian sex. So if you're joining us on Facebook Live, feel free to leave your comments, questions on here. We are addressing all of your questions. So this is a spinoff of what we talked about last week about the bed being undefiled. So this is geared towards singles and married folks. Now, in the way that it's geared towards singles is because we got a lot of questions last week about masturbation and things. Okay, is it okay for singles to do this or that? So this is not just for married folks. This is for singles as well. And we want you to be prepared also for when you do get married. So you got to talk about these things, research these things, and dig into it now. That way you're not twiddling your thumbs or rustling around trying to get information when you find yourself in a new marriage. So we want you to be informed and be aware. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Shantae says some parts of the world still marry girls off that young. And that's in pertaining to what we were talking about earlier, girls 12, 13 years old being married off in earlier times, even in this culture. But in this culture, we have sort of evolved in a sense and gotten away from marrying off girls that young. I'm thinking about it, and the twins are 8. That means 5 years from now or so, they'll be with some man.
Let's back up a little. According to, let's deal with scripture now. The Bible told, when God told Adam and Eve, He said, "Do what? Be fruitful and multiply." Well, the only way they're going to multiply to the point we are now is for them to start young. Because if they wouldn't, you got to think how, you know, it takes 9 months to have a baby, okay? So now we're going to wait till a child is a young woman, a young man is up in their 20s before they start, you know, getting married, having children. So now if they did it a lot younger, you could procreate a lot faster.
Right.
So the world could get populated a lot quicker. We're not in that situation anymore. We don't need to populate that fast.
Right.
You know, now animals still work on that clock because after, I think, a dog don't even have to be a year old before it can start producing puppies and that kind of stuff. You know, so the animal kingdom may still work that way. But we don't have to work that way. There's no reason for me to have to go marry some 13-year-old kid. You know, or some grown woman married some 13, 14-year-old boy, you know, because now let's look at it. We're talking about the Bible. According to scriptures and Judaic culture, boys were considered men at the age of, I think, 13.
Mm-hmm.
So at 13, they go through a bar mitzvah, and they have crossed over into manhood, you know. So with boys crossing over into manhood at 13 years old, well, you know, they were marrying 13, 14 years old, but we don't have to do that anymore. You know, so I don't believe it.
No, we don't have to do that anymore, but they do that in some other countries still. And I mean, just as far as the maturity level is concerned, you don't have anything in common with so moving on. Okay, so that we've covered all the questions. Hello, Sister Davis. Good to see you as well. Sunshine, Brother Dwayne, Amy. Hey, you guys. Thanks, all of you, for joining us. We've got 2 Facebook Live feeds going, so we're saying hello to everyone. We've been having a really good discussion tonight about the bed and what's okay to do in it if you're a Christian. So if you have any kind of question, no matter how big or small, no matter how explicit or not, we just ask that you watch your language, but you can ask whatever you like in regards to this subject tonight.
No, I was going to say, and go ahead, finish your statement.
Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is, since we're on the subject and we're talking about it, you know, not the kid did, but just we talked about it earlier about talking and communication. And I believe now my wife has this book. Can you see that book? I hope you can see the title. You see the title on that book, and maybe
I'm
you can read.
By my
so I what I believe is that we need to get as much information as we can, and I don't believe that we get enough information. And when I say information, I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about wholesome, healthy information. Brothers need to go get books on how a woman's whole vaginal area works. Men, women need to get books on how a man's whole his genital, yeah, that's what I was looking for here. I couldn't think of it. His whole genital area works, you know. So, and why do I say that? Because we're different. And the more you know about the other person, the more you know about the female anatomy, then the more you know about the male anatomy, the better person you are for the person you're with. Because, as I begin to study and begin to read and, you know, in life, I didn't know a woman's, you know, her whole vaginal area had to go through a whole process to get ready for climax. I mean, hey, you know, you just feel hers work like mine and it's going to happen. And it's not so. So when you read and you research and you study, well, then you come to find out, oh, okay, this is why it takes a woman a bit longer than it takes a man. Well, that means I got to do a bit more to get her to where she needs to go. And then a woman reads and finds, okay, here's sensitive, this sensitive. I know to stay away from this because I don't want him getting there before I get there, so let me, you know, kind of stay away from these areas until I'm ready for him to get there, you know. So those are the things that we really have to get into. And the reason, like I say, I believe the more study we do, the more reading we do, and it don't have to be, make it a husband and wife project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, get you know, y'all go to Barnes and Noble together, you know. We want to make everything you do fun. You know, y'all go to Barnes and Noble together. You send her to the female section and say, hey, I need you to go find a good book that's going to tell me about you, you know, your the way your body works. And then you send him to the male section, and then after y'all buy the books, and then now you read this one, and I'm going to read this one, you know, and then we're going to come back together and see what we've learned.
So Loretta said, good topic, guys. And LaTanya said, this is great. So you guys feel free to share your thoughts or ask questions or anything like that. We're talking about it tonight. So one other thing that we wanted to do, because we've covered all the questions so far, is give you guys some tips as far as your romantic life. Okay, this is something we did last year. And there's a book that I've had for some years, okay? And the funny thing about it is that I never really read the book until Dr. Newells and I got married.
Yeah, right.
let me say something. Look at this book. Okay, look at it. Front, side,
it's all beat
back.
Up.
No, as a matter of fact, it's not. And I've had this book since 2003. And it's still in almost perfect condition. So that'll tell you how much I really use this, okay? So anyway, Dr. Knowles and I have gone through this book together, and we used it to share. We've shared it with the listeners, some things with ourselves, you know, and it's been like a project. Honey, they can't see. They only see how
I'm
your
sorry.
Face. It's like a project. I mean, it's fun. And you get to explore each other. You get to explore new things, do new things, try new things, talk, communicate, laugh, feel a little bit awkward at times. I mean, that's part of marriage, right? Discovering. So this is something that I share periodically with you guys out there, and it's mainly geared towards the ladies, but the men can take something from it too. Okay? So I'm going to share some tips with you guys, but one thing I want to say first to the ladies, and I think this applies to men too. Dr. Newell, tell me if this is wrong.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Man, loving your spouse and loving yourself is always going to be enough. Okay? Because if the love is really there, you're going to do what it takes to make that person happy.
Right.
Okay? So if you really love, sometimes we, and let's look at this real quick. Sometimes we love our spouses, but we don't love ourselves. So we're not confident. We don't feel sexy. We don't step outside the box. We don't try new things. We don't present ourselves to them in a sexy way because we don't feel sexy. We don't like ourselves. We don't love ourselves. So if you feel good about yourself, you will be more sexy to the person you're with. That's just something that I have for the ladies that I think, because I have been in that place where I was not confident in the way that I looked, didn't feel sexy, you know, and something I might have been comfortable doing before, I'm not comfortable doing at this point because I don't feel confident in myself. You know, I think that women go through that.
Now, what I would say, and I agree with you, and I would say I agree most likely on both, probably on both halves, I'd say, the society is twisted. Let me tell you why I say society is twisted. If I grow a stomach at the age I am now, oh, this is a woman's playground. I get gray, I'm getting distinguished and all this kind of stuff. But then you flip it. If a woman gets a stomach, she's overweight. She goes gray, she's old. And you see how society plays these things. I get crow's feet in my eyes. Well, these are just character lines. Mm-hmm. A woman get crow's feet, they crow's feet. You need to go get them removed. You know, so society plays this game with our minds because, let's just say, it is particularly, as they say, a man's world. So it plays this game with our minds. Now, with that being said, I believe it's up to the individual. If you don't feel sexy, then you got to do what you need to do for yourself to feel sexy. If that's go to the gym, if that's diet or whatever that is, if that's buy some new drawers and some new bras or whatever, that you got to do whatever it takes because that's not fair for the other person to have to suffer because of what the way you feel. Mm-hmm. It's not the way, and see, here's the problem. A lot of times, it's not the way they feel about you. It's the way you feel about yourself. So since that's the way you feel about yourself, if that was a happy face from Quentin, you need to cut it off and change the channel. You know, my nephew. But
this rated R.
Yeah.
Quentin.
Yeah. So you know, you need to do what you need to do for yourself, you know, to let you feel better because that's part of marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, and you should want to present your best self to the person you're with. But it's unfair for you that some people get the attitude and just take the attitude, well, they married me this way, they got to, you know, they got to live with it. Or I just done got this way. No, that's unfair. You know, so, and then, you know, it's funny you just said that because I opened the book and it says right here, it says, great sex begins in the mind. If you create sexiness and passion in your head, you will soon find the real thing in your bed.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what did I just say? It's just saying that sex is here in your mind. So if I can start feeling sexy here, then sooner or later it's gonna come out in the bedroom. But the only way I'm gonna do it here is for me to start dealing with myself, because a lot of women and men will leave it up to the other person. You know, well, you don't make me feel sexy. No,
right.
you got to start feeling sexy about yourself, you know, because now let's put it this way. What about the single woman that gets dressed and goes, looks in the mirror and say, you know I'm sexy, you know, and they keep it going. That's just the thing. They keep it going, you know. So you got to be able to do the same exact thing. You got to keep the thought in your head. You got to do it in your head. That's, I'm sorry, babe. Hold on 1 second, you guys. That's Pastor Newell. This is Relationship Central with two.
So it's your phone that does better.
Yeah, my phone does better, you know. So maybe if you logged into my phone from your, logged into my page from your phone and we did it from there.
I'm doing it from my page.
So, you know, so that's the deal there. You got to feel sexy in your head. You got to say, you know what? I don't care what anybody say. I don't care what they look at. I'm sexy. Because nobody else can make you feel sexy if you don't feel sexy.
Exactly.
I can tell my wife all day long, she's put on stuff, and I've told her, babe, that is bad. That looks good. Because then I go downstairs, and by the time she come downstairs, she don't even have it on anymore. And I'm going, well, what happened? To her, it didn't look good.
It didn't look good to me.
It didn't look good to her. She didn't feel sexy in it. But I liked it. It was fine with me. But by her not feeling good in it, it changed the way, you know, she didn't want to wear it. So I think the same thing, you have to start thinking of it for yourself, how you feel. You can't rely on the way other people see you. And so sex appeal and sexiness starts with the individual.
Starts with the individual. So what we're talking about here, hey, Anisha, you guys, if the feed gets messed up, go to my page. The devil don't want this going down because
we have shows and some stuff.
And the last couple of shows we've been doing about this particular topic, we've been getting some honey, don't even bother with that.
But
then
there are
my
people, and then
now.
You can tell them to go to yours.
So you can go to my page, Stephanie Newell, okay? And so we're talking about the bed, what's okay in Christian sex. And we've been talking about this for about an hour and 15 minutes. So what we're talking about, we had a lot of questions, so if you missed it, go to our Relationship Central page, and you can replay the live feed or go to Blog Talk Radio on our Relationship Central page, and you can listen to the entire show, and it's still going on right now. It's a two-hour show. So what we're talking about now, I just gave some advice to the ladies and basically said if you love yourself and love your spouse, that's enough. You should have a great sex life, okay, because the love in itself for your spouse and for yourself is going to make sure that you compromise and that you try your best to make your spouse happy. So feel sexy and you will be sexy, right? Next, you radiate sexual confidence. That's something I just said. Now, here's another thing, and this is something that's from the book, and I want to know what you guys think about it, okay? It says this, do unto him as he does unto
you.
You,
yes.
So what it's saying basically is that men will, you guys are looking on my page, be patient, okay? He's trying
to set it up, you guys.
My husband.
I'm trying to get it right, babe. Go ahead, talk.
So basically, I don't know why I talk.
You were saying?
I was saying that do unto him as he does unto you. So what this is saying is that men will do to you some of the things they desire for themselves, okay? So if a man pays attention to a particular area of your body more, maybe he wants you to pay attention to that area of his, right? Great advice from pastors. God bless you, Uncle Eddie. Sarah, hey, all y'all. And weigh in on this topic if you want. We want to hear from you guys, too. I think we got a caller. Let's see what they have to say on Blog Talk Radio. Caller, if you heard the beep, you are on live with Dr. What's your question for us today?
Ending the Blog Talk Radio. So hang up.
Praise the Lord. On behalf of Dr. and First Lady News, we want to